Welcome to Twi'lek Talk, a Star Wars podcast, with your hosts, Rob Solo, Darth Dylan, and Old Ben.
It is May 29th, 2017. This is Twi'lek Talk, Episode 3. I'm Rob Solo, and I'm here with Darth Dylan.
What's up? What's up?
And also Old Ben.
Hello.
May is an important month for Star Wars fans for many reasons. And here are just a few anniversaries and birthdays, guys. We got to cover a few of those for the month of May. George Lucas turned 73 on May 14th. Thank the maker.
Of course, as always.
Good for him.
He's looking good, too.
Yeah, he looks good.
I think so.
Well, thanks, guys.
He looks good.
Yeah. He looks good. We just saw him at Celebration recently, and he was witty and looking young. Also following him, Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca. Yeah, there you go. Also turned 73 on May 19th this year.
It's good for him.
Yeah.
I remember I was at a convention, this like local horror convention, and I was like a few feet away from that guy.
Oh yeah.
He's so tall. He's tall. Like,
yeah.
He's great.
What is he, 71, 72?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still doing some of the movies, so.
Yeah, he's, I know they got a new guy playing him now, right?
Like some former, I think he was like a Finnish or Swedish, I believe.
Swedish?
Basketball player that, yeah.
Okay.
I could LeBron James save my life, but.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but also Star Wars A New Hope, or as me and Old Ben know it, as just Star Wars turned 40. Yeah. On May 25th.
Oh, yeah. Banner day.
Woo. The original.
The start of it all.
So we had two birthdays for the start of all. George Lucas and Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back turned 37 on May 21st.
It's my lucky number.
What, 21 or 37?
37.
Oh.
Yeah, that's big. Empire is great, too.
And it is so great. That's my favorite. I love it.
Me personally, I think it's the most watchable of all the originals. Like, I know they're all watchable, of course, but like if it's on, I could just watch it and get zoned out and completely like engrossed in it. But I think A New Hope holds the most like sentimental value.
Yeah,
to me.
I get that.
Or Star Wars, as you'd
say. It's a great introduction to that world and the characters and the story, and it's, you know, what people look to. Yeah, for those, you know, those reasons. So yeah.
Also, Return of the Jedi turns 34, May 25th this month. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and it's weird too because originally A New Hope was supposed to be released in the summer, so just by default they decided to, you know, have an early release when it came out in May, and May sort of by default has become like the month, basically Star Wars month, but now. With the new movies, it seems to be shifting towards December, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. It is shifting. You're right.
Now, they're doing the Han Solo movie in May.
Yeah.
Day after episode.
Yeah.
I think it's after episode 8 they're going to do it, right? Like next year?
Yes.
So that's going to be pretty cool. We'll get like a different vibe from it. Not Christmas time.
Maybe they'll do a little spin-off movies in May. Trilogy movies in December type thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Would be the most logical thing to do.
They want
to
release two a year. That's pretty. That's spread apart.
Now, what do you guys think about them releasing two a year? Do you think that's going to be overkill? A lot of people are saying that there's two camps. There's like, give me as much Star Wars as possible. I don't care if there's, you know, three a year. But then there's others where they're like, you know what? I don't want to get burnt out. Let's spread these out a bit. Give it time to, you know, hit the reset button on things. What do you guys, what's your take on that?
Well, I've said to other people have brought this up because I've heard this. If it's quality stuff, I'll take it. And that's just me.
Right.
You know, that's just me. I'll take it. If you know, I love Star Wars. If it's gonna stay legit and not get cheesy or go too far one way or the other, yeah, I think I'll enjoy it. You know, it's a movie. It's a 2-hour movie. You got 12 months a year.
Yeah.
If, as long as it's quality.
I don't really go to the movies much anymore because I haven't found anything that really piques my interest other than like the superhero movies or, you know, anything that's really interesting or that I think looks really cool.
Yeah.
So seeing something that I know, like I'm comfortable with, like Star Wars, if it's going to be in the theaters, obviously I'm going to go see it. I don't really mind if it's twice a year because a year is a pretty long time. And sometimes I find myself craving it, like right after The Force Awakens, like a couple of months later, I was like, man, I really want a new movie. I personally don't care.
I don't think
it'll be overkill either.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think too that the like the superhero genre, like you had mentioned before, Dylan, it's, people were always saying, you know, people have been saying like, oh, there's going to be this burnout. People are going to get tired of going to see these movies. But the box office doesn't lie. I mean, the people still are going to see these movies. You know, now they're being released, you know, between Marvel and DC and a lot of independent, you know, companies that are coming up. There's going to be a lot of that going on. And that doesn't seem it's going to be slowing down anytime soon. So, with Star Wars, I believe twice a year. I agree with you guys. I don't think it's going to be too much. Just as long as the quality and the storytelling is at the level it's been, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Even the crappy movies that even critics say suck are making money, like Suicide Squad and things like that from DC, they're still bringing in the bucks. So they're going to continue to make them. And I don't think anybody's going to sit home and not go see a Star Wars film in the theater. They know what they're doing. They're going to definitely start banking on two movies a year, in my opinion.
Well, it's also, too, seeing Star Wars in the theater is like, it's hard to describe. I mean, I know there are people out there that just are wait for it on DVD, but for the majority of us, it's more than just, you know, going to the movies. It's an experience. It's going with like-minded people that are there to see it, that are into the characters, that are into the story, that cheering the good guys and, you know, booing. Well, not booing, but
in awe is in what awe I think of when, you know, I think of everything. The Sith.
But and for me, it's like, you know, like I'm sure like you guys too, it's more of an experience of, yeah, I'm going to the movies to see Star Wars. It's not like, well, I'll just wait in 3 months, it'll be on DVD. It's like, no, that's...
Yeah, and I know some people who are like that, who are like, I'll wait until it goes on DVD. I don't need to see it, but I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
That's insane to me.
But,
that's sort of like a contradiction, but...
I don't know anybody like that.
I don't want to know anybody like that.
They ain't my friend.
It's like you pay all this money to go to a convention or something like that, and you have this great experience. But with Star Wars, it's like you pay $15 for a movie ticket and you have this great experience like right around the corner.
Right.
I look forward to it every year. And it's not one of those. It's like, it's almost like ceremonious for me because it's just going to happen one day and I have something to look forward to with all these cool people around me and this great experience of seeing a new film.
Can I say this? Think of it like this, right? Religious people, for example, they hit up church, what, once a week?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that shit is entertaining to them. Yeah. So if you're, you know, into Star Wars, that's in a sense sort of religion. The Guardians of the Wills, yeah?
Well, I must be a hardcore Jedi because all I do is check out YouTube videos and talk to, you know, you guys about stuff when we're not, you know, doing podcasts.
In a sense, you're relying on it for entertainment purposes.
If we're on here talking about Star Wars right now, why wouldn't we want to go out and see a new movie?
Hell yeah, I'm there.
You know, you got to stay positive.
Good point. Very good point.
Also released this month, talking about religion, The Guardians of the Will, written by Greg Rucka.
It
was released on May 2nd. It's a very exciting month. And this follows Baze Malbus and Chirrut Imwe, how you say it?
I think you got it right. Yeah.
And this is before Rogue One. It takes place on Jedha, like them getting run out of their Kyber temple and like the Empire coming in and starting to hoard all them Kyber crystals. I'm pretty into it. I think I want to read more about that. As much as I enjoyed Rogue One, those characters were one of the best parts of the movie, in my opinion.
They were definitely like the, sort of like the R2 and the 3PO of that movie. You know, like the sort of like the comedic. Well, I mean, there was a lot. I mean, K2SO also, you could say, was kind of the big sort of comedian. But yeah, the dynamic between those two really was cool. And yeah, I did remember you mentioning that this book was coming out. And I have to check it out.
It just dropped May 2nd. I know that they're looking to expand, and I've read this in many places, and it makes complete sense. The thought process of what the Force is, you know what I mean? Like how people view the Force and the Guardians of the Wills and the religions that worship the Force. I think this novel written by Greg Rucka is a start of expanding on that in canon. I think it's pretty cool. I'm open to it. It brings a more complex story, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Force is good.
And you're going to see that also.
It's all good.
And, you know, not to get into it quite yet, but you're also going to see that in The Last Jedi, where he finds ancient scrolls by ancient Jedi texts, which probably have some sort of connection to the Guardians of the Wills. Or this guy, Greg Rucka, he's worked on Star Wars before. He did A Smuggler's Run and some Star Wars called Before the Awakening. I haven't read either one. Have you guys?
No.
Yeah. He's also done some DC work and Marvel work. He worked on Batman Action Comics and some Spider-Man, some X-Men. You guys might be familiar with this work. I might check this book out.
I might have to also, yeah.
Sounds interesting as heck to me.
Certainly.
I love Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One is, you know, they did something great with it, and I feel like it's filled the void for Star Wars until December.
Yeah.
And with all the new stories that are coming out with it and everything. It's great.
I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another example of a really good sort of adding to the lore and bringing new characters and, like you said, filling in the gaps. And, you know, well, who were those rebels that in their opening, you know, crawl to A New Hope, who were those rebels that stole the Death Star plans? Well, now you know.
Well, that's funny you brought that up, old Ben, because the next on the list is another novel that was released on May 2nd, the same day, Rebel Rising, written by Beth Rivas, covers Jyn Erso's life between the opening of the main events of Rogue One and her days with Saul Guerrera. Is that something you guys would check out, Darth Dylan?
They didn't explain much about it, you know, in the film. It just, I feel Mark Hamill brought up a point like of what they're doing with the new films. And he basically said that because Kathleen Kennedy said, you know, there's going to be a lot more Luke in The Last Jedi. And Mark Hamill said, you know, Luke is there. He's going to be something that you love in the film, but I'm sure they're going to release lots of books and video games and toys, like telling about his story more. So I think what they're doing is creating all these novels and stories that for us to read. So I'm definitely cool with it. And I was wondering a lot about Jyn Erso and Saul Guerrera. So that seems awesome.
I think it's cool to see her life leading up to when we see him open the hatch in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Until basically when she's prisoner or around those times, you know. I love that character. I like Jyn Erso. I'm into it.
Yeah.
So those are two books that just came out also in May. I'm thinking about picking up both of them. Also, the Cassian K2SO comic that just got announced is going to be released by Marvel. It's going to be 40 pages and all about how Cassian and K2SO met. They're going back in the history of these characters that we thought we might not get any more story from, the Rogue One characters.
I think they're going to be doing this a lot with a lot of the main characters that they introduce into this new world, because people want to know, well, how did they get to this point? You know, because the great thing about Star Wars is that even with A New Hope, they literally just dropped you into the middle of a war zone. There wasn't any kind of, well, here's this person, here's how they started out. It's like, no, what they're doing is they're basically throwing us into the middle with the movies and then having books, novels, comics fill in the gap and tell you, you know, well, how this person or this being got to this point. The other cool thing is it's a 40-page one shot. That's like the equivalent of like four or five regular single, you know, comic books, which is pretty awesome. So it's almost like we're getting a graphic novel if you think about it. And yeah, I definitely want to know more. I hope they explain more about Cassian and his background as a separatist, because that was kind of during the prequels. It was alluded to like, oh, they're all, of course, you know, us being the viewer, we know Palpatine was manipulating everything, but they were portrayed, you know, with Dooku as their leader, as the evil, you know, the empire of that, you know, series. And kind of want to know Cassian's background as far as how he got to that point of, and at what point did he break away and join the rebellion?
So. As do I, which I find that to be extremely, that's entertaining as heck to me. Where does a separatist break off when the empire, when the, you know, the Senate turns to the empire?
And a lot of them too. I mean, there's a couple different, a lot of them stay true and just, you know, break off in smaller factions and try to probably fight the empire. Some join the rebellion, and I'm sure a lot join the empire. So it's all over the place. But that's an interesting backstory that I'm glad they're going to address.
I wonder if he snags K2SO while being a part separatist and then turning.
Joins the empire.
Yeah, I wonder if he grabs.
Well, we're gonna,
I have a prediction. That's Rob Solo's prediction. He grabs K2SO. Red Carpet Rob. He grabs K2SO. And that's how he reprograms them. So I think they're going to show all of that. That's exciting. I love comics. I'm into it. Yeah. I'm into it. Darth Dylan?
I love it.
You into
they're,
it?
Like old Ben said, I think they're doing like the puzzle piece technique where the movies lay like the foundation. And then these are like filling in those extra pieces, you know?
Yep,
it's cool. It's like an interactive experience. You're doing the extra in between the lines research. And I'm excited to see what happened with the two. Those two novels seem cool as well.
A lot of Rogue One stuff.
Yeah, they gotta do it while they can, you know?
And we thought we wouldn't get any more of those characters' stories, and here we are.
Yep. Strike while the lightsaber's hot, yep.
Disney ain't playing, yo.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. I guess we'll take a quick commercial break, come back with some really interesting news, really good stuff just dropped about The Last Jedi. And we'll talk about our speculations and predictions for that upcoming movie.
Cool.
Not able to bullseye Womp Rats like you used to? Are you falling into your own emotional Sarlacc pit? Maybe you need to add some Bantha milk into your diet. More protein than root leaf stew, and much healthier than death sticks. Bantha milk will give you the energy you need to outrun those Tusken Raiders. Bantha milk. Liquid. Blue. Yummy. Really yummy.
All right, guys. Welcome back to episode 3 of Twi'lek Talk. I am Old Ben.
Yeah.
Along with
Rob Solo.
Darth Dylan.
And we're back from our commercial break. And let's talk a little bit about an article that came out. Kind of flew under the radar with a lot of things. Right before episode 1 had came out, a lot of people were vying for the big spots of everyone from Qui-Gon to whatever. But Obi-Wan was actually a role that many of the younger actors in Hollywood were trying to, you know, to get. And of course, we all know it went to Ewan McGregor, who's done an awesome job.
Oh yeah.
As the younger Obi-Wan. And but another actor that was dangerously close to getting the role was the younger brother of Ralph Fiennes, who plays Voldemort in the Harry Potter movies, his brother Joseph Fiennes. There's a great article that came out where he talked about it, and basically he had a really good audition, and George Lucas had introduced him to his younger daughter, and he said, this quite possibly could be our Obi-Wan Kenobi. And George Lucas's daughter turned to him and said, I don't like this guy. He's weird. I don't like him. And I guess that was the rest is history, and whether that had anything to do with it or not, we'll never know. But the role did go to Ewan McGregor, and none of us are really complaining about that.
Was that Lucas's daughter who said that?
That's what the article says. Yes. Yeah.
Can you imagine what if she did that about Ewan McGregor? Would
well, you don't know. You'll never know.
That's funny. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out. Ben had sent me this video. And I'm like, oh, it's funny, like how this isn't something that came out a while ago. This is something new. This audition tape or this interview. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it seems like it's a recent thing. Yeah.
Okay. And this guy, I'm trying to figure out where do I know this dude from. He was in American Horror Story, and I watched that, and that's how I was like, yeah, he looks very familiar. But he was also in Hercules. I don't know if you guys saw that. And Strangeland. That's a good one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been around. But yeah, I guess this is probably earlier in his career. Because the daughter didn't like him, he didn't get the part.
Well, we don't know, we don't know that, but I'm sure.
Nah, that's probably what happened, right? Ewan McGregor's a charming guy.
Never know.
Not to say this guy isn't, but Ewan McGregor. And I think we could all agree. We're happy. We know Obi-Wan is Ewan McGregor, young Obi-Wan, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, I would say, besides Ian McDiarmid's portrayal of Sidious Palpatine, I think Ewan McGregor was probably one of the best actors to come out of the prequels.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two. My favorites. And
me too.
Yeah. I'm going to go with them.
I'm gonna go with
and
that.
Ray Park.
Oh, you know what? Ray Park was good. You're right.
I love that guy.
You're right.
They got to include him in some more stuff. I think they will. They're going to, they might, you know what? Come to think of it, I could see them doing like a film revolving with him.
Who, Ray Park?
Yeah.
I know he would do it. He loves it.
Yeah, he does his own stunts.
I would love to see some Darth Maul, coming of Darth Maul. Because you know what? We don't really get a lot of his past history.
I know. And right now we're doing the original trilogy films revolving around that. I think it's about time we get some.
I'd go see a Darth Maul movie.
Yeah,
I'd be there.
So this guy didn't get the part, and that's all sad and boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. And we're,
But, daughter told him he was ugly.
She didn't say that, Dylan. Yeah. She didn't say that. So let's get into the big news, guys. Vanity Fair's photo shoot, The Last Jedi. Have you guys seen these photos?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a big drop. That's some could have dropped at Celebration type stuff or D23, but we got some good stuff that looks neat.
I'm just going to go out and say it. I love the way Kylo Ren's looking. He looks awesome.
Yeah.
He's very distinguished, and you could tell he's set in stone who he is.
I think he's going to be better this movie. Not that he wasn't okay in Force Awakens.
I think this movie he's going to finally step out of the shadows of his grandfather and become his own person. You know what I mean? I think
Yeah, definitely.
I think that with Force Awakens, they were, again, a lot of people, this was kind of like a reset and a reintroduction to a lot of the old characters and an introduction to the new characters. And I think that with Kylo Ren, he was a fanboy, a big fan of his grandfather, who is arguably the biggest villain in the galaxy. And with this one, I think it's going to be one of those cases of he learned a pretty, painful lesson and is going to become a bigger threat and wants to become a bigger threat than his grandfather ever was. Yeah. So
there's a lot of symbolism in how he's not wearing his mask anymore. That was kind of like his way of showing that he's wants to be like Darth Vader to some extent. And now the mask is completely gone and he's his own entity and he's something bigger. Wow. And he has the scar too, which is pretty cool.
I haven't really looked at it until you said that, but yeah, like he's breaking away from that shadow and becoming his own.
He doesn't need it.
He is becoming the shadow.
Yeah. He's becoming his own force user or whatever he's becoming. Any chance, now that we're on the topic of Kylo, that he could go back to the light? Do you guys think, old Ben?
I mean, if we're doing, the last the predictions and stuff, if we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit. So I know a lot of people are saying there's no way he can be, but I think he's got to be because if he didn't have any remorse after he, you know, spoiler alert, after he murdered his father, of which, you know, they've said in the novelization that he felt like he thought he was going to feel, you know, the dark side, but he felt empty. There's definitely still part of him that's, you know, still clinging to the light. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
So, yeah, I think he's totally redeemable. I don't know if Disney and Lucasfilm want to do that again, because that's kind of a rehash of Vader, yeah. You know, but it's if done, like we keep on saying, storytelling wise, if done in a creative way that makes sense, then they can easily make that happen. So
I totally have to agree. Dylan, what do you think?
You know what? I think he is very emotional. And like Ben said, he was kind of like he felt nothing like at the end when he actually killed Han Solo. But I think that there's going to be semblances of, you know, he's going to be confused in what he's doing. I don't think he's going to be this cold hearted. Or, you know, he could very well maybe this cold-hearted new villain with who shows no emotion. I think there might be like scenes with touches of him like having regret or showing regret or feeding into the light side. But it's going to be a very gray film, I think, in general. That's what they're going for. That's what it seems like, at least.
It does, especially with Luke's little comment in the trailer about the Jedi have to come to an end or whatever. This casino planet in the photos Vanity Fair dropped. Canto Bight. What a cool name, right?
Yeah.
Some of these characters look wicked. And a lot of people were saying, you know, very Hunger Games-y. But I think right. I like it.
Does seem, now that I'm looking at it, it does look a little like the Hunger Games. But I love the inclusion of the aliens, what they're doing. I can't get enough of the aliens in the Star Wars franchise. I personally think that they were a bit lacking in the last film or the last two films. So it looks pretty cool.
And they're showing a casino planet, which is cool.
Yeah.
I know that they've showed that in novels and things like that. Like the Plagueis novel, they had the casino scene, and but it's never actually been explored. And I heard, or I think I read something along the lines, is they're bringing the story more to the inner rim, not the outer rim. And you're going to see how the elite are living in the galaxy, you know, and this is a little picture into that.
It's Las Vegas in space. Yeah. No, I think it's cool because you're seeing what the equivalent would be of like the Star Wars 1%, right? Because we are used to seeing traditionally like the boots on the ground, wartime, the never ending battle between like good and evil. But this is a totally different side of the galaxy that we didn't get to see, and I think it's really cool, and it just adds to the lore instead of just continuing to just focus on, you know, the dark side and the light side, the rebellion and or the resistance and the First Order. This is going to be, you know, a sidestep, but also ties into what's going on in the film. So
we're getting very Alex Jonesy.
yeah right.
Some of these characters look amazing, don't they? What about that little guy? Everyone keeps talking about that little guy that the guy's holding up.
I know. I noticed that. Do you think he's going to be in the film? Well, the guy wearing the hoodie?
He might be your Boar Gullet, Dylan. your next.
Apparently, he's very intelligent, this little creature. He's very intelligent, and he's one of the richest creatures.
That's cool.
Some of these characters are crazy. There's like a horse guy in the back. And
I'm just waiting for the names of these characters, because that's always one of the funny, the best parts of it, is finding out the names of, you know, the very Star Wars-ish kind of names they give them.
It says, that's cool, the names, and seeing like the, you know, they trademark like all those names, which is funny.
Oh yeah.
I noticed that's going
to
be a lot.
So Dylan, I'm sorry to tell you cannot legally change your name to Boar Gullet. I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but
I know, man, that's what I was getting at.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, cool could, it says that Rose, our new character Rose, and Finn are going to visit this planet among a bunch of other places.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it says. Ryan Johnson was telling us about it, and he said that he's going for like an ultra glamour playground for rich assholes. That's verbatim. That's verbatim. So I think it's going to encapsulate some, you know, like the 1% mentality in that galaxy, you know?
I think it's going to be very cool. We got a little picture of Laura Dern's character, Vice Admiral Holdo. Do you guys know anything about her?
Not too much. She's very purple.
She's purple. She's got a cool wig. She looks pretty badass.
And I've got to imagine she's going to have a scene with Leia. I mean, I think that that's pretty much going to be a given, you know, given the fact of, you know, the Resistance now is the only army that the New Republic has.
Yeah.
So
they were showing in Force Awakens just a piece, like I was listening to this thing, just a piece of the New Republic that they destroyed with Starkiller Base. So now this is all still going on. Like, the New Republic is still in power, am I right?
Yes. And I believe, but the power's been, I mean, definitely there's
power like been a scattered. Power struggle, right? Right. Yeah. Now? Because of what just happened in the Force Awakens movie. So we're moving into a dark power struggle in the Last Jedi movie. I don't know how these casino characters are going to tie into the main story. I'm hoping we get to see kind of like how these people are living under the New Republic and how this war is going to affect them. And that's probably... a lot of these main characters are probably going to tie into that plot from what I'm getting. Yeah. Benicio del Toro?
He's just chilling.
Oh, yeah.
No, looks very...
This is interesting
looks,
because...
That shot looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because the name they've given him was DJ, and a lot of people are speculating. I've heard everything from Dealer of Junk to Dark Jedi to Data Junker. Yeah, very mysterious. Don't really know... I have a feeling he's going to be one of these guys where people are going to be after him for information. Just kind of looks like that. Or some sort of guidance towards something.
Darth Dylan, what do you think, Benicio?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. From the picture, it looks like that gritty vibe that we got in Rogue One a little bit.
Yeah, besides the fact that he's promoting a Bantha milk commercial in the photo shoot.
Oh, yeah, he is.
For good times, make it Bantha times.
I honestly don't really know. I can't really say much until we get more information, but I just appreciate what we got so far.
You think they would go as far as to do a Dark Jedi?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either. That's a toughie.
For all we know, his name could just be DJ.
I mean, they're introducing a lot of stuff into, you know, the new canon, and if, like we've said, if done properly...
Yeah,
it could be cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely this. Out of all the characters besides Snoke, it seems like he's one of the characters in this new movie that's still has this aura of, you know, uncertainty. Like, well, what is he? Who is he? Who is he? Is he connected to anybody that we know already? And what side is he on? Or is he on his own side? So, don't really know.
He looks pretty cool in the shot. I think it stands for Don Juan. That's what it is.
There you go. Maybe.
He's the Don Juan of the new trilogy.
You know what I like? You guys see this character that looks like it's got like a sunflower design around its head that kind of has like a giant shoulder in the casino. You guys see that picture? Some of these characters just look insane. They look crazy.
Oh, that one, yeah.
They put some effort into this.
I know.
What about that thing with four eyes? Crazy.
It's one of these things where you look at it every time and you can find something new that you didn't see before.
I see Oprah Winfrey right now.
I was in disbelief when I first saw that photo. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was from like something different, you know, but then I'm like, you know what? This could actually work.
Yeah. I think
there's a guy in the first photo in the way background on the left. He looks like it could be a Peter Cushing, doppelganger. I mean, he looks a lot like he's got like even the operatic like, you know, eye. And you see that?
How about that?
Yeah, he does.
How about that?
they should have used him.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, pretty cool. Those are some of the pictures.
What else we got? We got some shots of an emotional shot of Luke and Leia.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best shots, of, I think, of all of them.
That's great. There's just a lot of emotion in that one.
Very nice picture. I like that. Is it a possibility? I know this has been some talk, and, you know, I know it's something, it's not important, but will they recast her for episode 9, or will they somehow kill Leia off in the movie or in a novel? What do you guys think? Old Ben, I know you you got strong opinions on this.
Yeah, I it's tricky. Because from what we've heard, and you got to pay attention to the language that Kathleen Kennedy has been using, because she said that Carrie Fisher won't appear in episode 9. That doesn't mean that they can't recast, and that doesn't, and well, they did say also too that Carrie Fisher wouldn't appear and they wouldn't be doing CGI, but that doesn't mean they won't recast. Now, but here's a question though, is because they said they wrapped up filming obviously on episode 8, they didn't make any changes to it, so that leads me to believe that they did not kill off the character of Leia in that film, and they're either going to recast for 9 or have to really, or have to make some sort of really strong explanation as to why she is not going to be in episode 9. Like, yeah, she survived 8, but why is she not in 9? I have a feeling the closer we're getting to this and getting more information, especially with, you know, D23 coming up and Comic-Con, and as we get closer to 8, I think more information about 9 is going to come out about this, but I still don't know if you can, because you can't replace Carrie Fisher. You just can't.
I feel the same.
You know, I know a lot of people say, well, the actor shouldn't be synonymous with the character. It's a totally separate thing, but I just think that this is such a special case. So I don't know. I don't know what you do there. Again, if they do it in a way that's fitting for the character and it gives that character the send-off that is respectful for the person that portrayed her and also respectful for the fans that have been following and care for this character so much, then I'd like to see if they can do something. But I don't know what they're going to do. I, you know, honestly don't know.
Dylan, what's your thoughts on this?
I don't know what Carrie Fisher would think about having Princess Leia recast, you know, if she was still here with us. So I just don't know. I feel like, me personally, I don't like the idea of it, and I feel like it would be doing her an injustice, you know, because she really brought that character to life, and I feel like they would just be trying to milk the character by doing that. So I don't know. I just, it wouldn't sit well with me, and I know it wouldn't sit well with a lot of fans, unless it was done in, you know, some sort of clever way, like CGI for certain scenes. But if they said not even CGI, you know, I just don't know how it would work out.
Well, you can go, they're not doing CGI. There's the possibility of recasting, but how are they going to pull that off?
Yeah, it's so, because the other thing that's kind of throws another, you know, another issue is the fact that episode 7 was Han's story. Episode 8 is Luke's story, and episode 9 was supposed to be Leia's story. That's what they told her before. When they wrapped up finishing 8, you know, Kathleen Kennedy, you know, Leia said to me, Leia said to her,
in a dream, she came.
Yeah, seriously. Leia said to her, so am I going to get, you know, is episode 9 going to be my movie? And she said, am I going to be the focus? And she said, yeah. Yep. And so, but actually I think they had to pretty much restart from the, you know, the drawing board again with this, as far as episode 9, rewriting episode 9. So I don't know if that means that if Leia, and we were talking about this too off, you know, before the podcast, or, you know, before, if Luke, let's say if Luke dies in 8 and then you don't bring Leia back, who's left in 9 besides the new characters? I think you need, so I don't know if that means that they changed something in 8 where Luke survives and then he goes on and continue, and you somehow deal with the Leia issue in another way. I don't know.
I think they're working that out. Like, I'm sure they must be working that all out right now. They're probably scrambled, you know, like, obviously a tragedy like that, you never know when that's going to strike. But I did hear that, yes, episode 9 was going to be a main focus on the character of Princess Leia, general, whatever you want to call her. It's very, very sad. What I would do personally as just, you know, my own personal opinion is kind of just show her death off screen. I don't know if that's something most people would agree with. I don't know if that is something that seems as it's a cop out for the character, but that's the only way. You can't really recast her. You can't do CGI. What other ways there to do it but to maybe show like Luke in episode 9 approach a grave or something along those lines, whatever. And
yeah, I have a feel. I don't know if I don't know if I agree. I think they are going to recast, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen. It's just because I think you need to wrap up that character story, you know, fittingly. And just by having an off screen death or saying, oh, well, you know, kind of like Thrawn, like, or whatever, like, oh, he went out to the Outer Rim, or this person did this, and that's why we haven't heard from them. It's, if it was a minor character, okay, you could get away with that. But with her being one of the big three, I don't think you can. So I have a feeling, I don't agree with it, but I have a feeling they are going to recast and just to finish that story arc for Leia. So I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll get more information as we get closer to that time. So,
okay. Or you know what they could do? They could make her daughter a big part in the next film or in episode 9.
True. Yeah,
that'd be nice.
That'd be cool. Like make her kind of into the new version of Leia or something like that.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I'm curious what they are going to do with this. And I'm sure there's obviously going to be fans that have a problem with whichever direction they go in. It's all about choice. They have to make a choice.
Yeah.
You know, this film is going to be, from what everyone's saying, one of the darkest, and not in the sense that they're mimicking Empire, but just that it tends to happen that way. It's a dark film. Rian Johnson was saying he doesn't want to make the same film that's already been made. Seems like a real chill guy to me. I know he was in talks with J.J. Abrams when J.J. Abrams was making The Force Awakens, and they worked out certain details, and it said that J.J. Abrams even made changes to The Force Awakens to flow with The Last Jedi.
Right, yeah. Do you remember one of those changes that was recently talked about?
No, what was it, old Ben?
Let me tell you. One of the changes was when Rey and Chewie went to go find Luke at the end of the film, J.J. originally had BB-8 accompanying them, and Rian Johnson said, I think it would make more sense if R2 was with them, because R2 is Luke's. That's his, you know, that's his companion.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot more sense as well. You know, I think that the change, like a subtle change like that, makes a lot.
Praise Rian Johnson for
just watching and being okay, whatever.
Yeah. Praise Rian Johnson for saving that little detail, because I totally agree 100% that R2 should have been there.
Yeah. It seems like Rian Johnson has very good intuition and very good feel of the series and what would be right for it and what would be wrong for it. And that alone gives me hope for it, you know, because I know a lot of people were controversial about the last film, and I'm just optimistic about it. Seems cool. Rian Johnson does a good move on his part.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Some of the things that Dylan had brought to my attention that also came out recently that we should bring up is the Star Wars Legos, the Last Jedi predictions that came out of these toys being released. Dylan,
yep.
What's up with that?
Well, it was leaked, the new 2017 The Last Jedi Lego sets. And one of the photos they'll go into, it's basically, it shows the minifigures on the front case, And one of them, they have like the First Order Stormtrooper, First Order Sergeant, and then they show Supreme Leader Snoke.
Oh.
And he looks very different than in The Force Awakens. Whoa. And he basically looks like his skin is the normal flesh tone, like regular flesh tone, but he's wearing, and this was, I believe we talked about this in, I think it was like episode one or might have even been the last episode, about Snoke's appearance, mm-hmm. how he wears like the gold robes. And this is true because
it has been Lego solidified. Set,
yeah, so I guess that leak was like somewhat legit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Lego and, is canon, bro.
Yeah, it's canon. And so, obviously the Lego hands can't show like what his hands look like. I know people are saying he's gonna have like really long fingers with like lots of jewelry. And you said maybe he could even have like a kyber crystal on there.
Ooh.
Should be cool.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I heard he wears kyber crystal rings.
Yeah, yeah.
So Snoke has a gold robe and flesh colored skin. What does that tell us? Anything? Or is that just, oh, okay.
A gold, well, it means he's, it's weird because the first thing when you said he had a lighter robe, at first I thought, well, is that like harken back? Like, was he a Jedi at some point? Was he a Jedi master at some point? But now that you're telling me about, you know, the, all of the jewelry and this, that, it makes me think that he at least portrays himself as royalty, some sort of, maybe he has something to do with the 1% as far as, you know, that Star Wars 1%.
That's what I'm thinking. And I think we're going to that casino planet that we're going to see. Maybe that's where he's going to be for part of the film, you know, like maybe he has connections there.
Oh,
something like that. It's getting really cool.
You guys
like
with all this sparking my interest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, another thing they revealed with the Lego sets, which is kind of it's like a big revelation. It's definitely odd. Next to Snoke on the Lego set, it shows a new droid, and that is BB-9E.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That pretty much, it looks like it's like a dark version of BB-8. And obviously, he's on their side because all the characters on there are from the First Order.
And the E stands for evil?
Yeah, E's for evil.
BB-9E?
BB evil.
So that's gonna, awesome. That's definitely a big like plot twist, I think.
Does he look just like BB-8?
He looks exactly black? Like BB-8.
Kind of like when Chopper got all painted up when he was portraying himself as the Imperial droid.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like they're doing. Like maybe they stole BB-8's design. They're jealous. So that's cool. And there's also another Lego set where they're on an ice planet, like similar to Hoth.
Oh.
Which is, people are saying there are parallels between Empire Strikes Back and now this film, and that kind of solidifies it because of the Hoth-type planet. I don't really necessarily think that means it's going to be just like the Empire Strikes Back, but it's a cool thing to see, you know?
Are they going to Hoth or no?
I don't think it's Hoth. I think it's a different planet altogether.
Space planet. Cool if it was Hoth.
Yeah, that would be cool. We haven't been there in a while.
Any other Legos drop tell us anything about The Last Jedi predictions that you guys are aware of?
Not really. I think that was the big reveal, the Snoke and BB-9 evil.
I know there were some new walkers. They're calling them the Turtle Walkers. And apparently they were seen in The Force Awakens in the distance when General Hux was giving his big-ass speech. I don't recall them, but I'm going to have to go back and check it because I'm interested. But Turtle Walkers, they're kind of like AT-ATs, but like, or AT-ATs now, with four legs that are more shaped like a turtle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Have you seen this?
I haven't, actually.
Neither have I, no.
Yeah, check it out. It's pretty interesting. It's cool, though. I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're dropping a lot of things right now as we get closer to the release in December. And obviously with the internet, people are going to speculate and take whatever they can and run with theories. Is there anything that any of us can say that is solidified, that is extremely relevant to anything we should know about The Last Jedi. Does that make sense, what I just said?
I mean, like you said, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of rumors and innuendos and such, but and I'm kind of like you guys. I want to get information, but I don't want complete spoilers of scenes. Like, I know there have been instances recently where somehow, some way, there have been some leaks and of just specific scenes between characters, and you're reading something, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, stop, except, just basically, you know, I want, like you guys, I kind of want to know more about it, but I don't want to get spoiled as far as specific scenes. It's fun to learn about the movie and, you know, get more information and speculate, but when someone flat out, and again, I don't know how it happens, but when someone flat out gets the actual script or scenes, specific scenes that are big scenes in the movie, and are able to put it out there and without any kind of spoiler warning, it kind of ruins it for everybody. So
do you go and look at the toys to try to like make up your own kind of opinions about what maybe things would be, old Ben?
No, I'm not a big toy guy. So, I mean, when I see them, I definitely like we even said when, God, was it 2 months ago when the Rey, when some of the new stuff came out, they showed boxes of the new in pictures of the new characters, and Rey had a new hairstyle, so everyone's like, oh, well, that's different, you know.
and
I think I want to say Poe Dameron was wearing a new jacket, or no, Finn was wearing like a new jacket or something. So I mean, it's just, that's just a way to get the character to, you know, not repeat themselves and to make the character look fresh and look, you know, hey, we're moving on, we're doing different things. So but no, I mean, I do see stuff, but I don't really go too much into that speculation realm with that.
And Darth Dylan, I know you like the toys a lot. Is it something that you look at and you try to figure stuff out?
I know when The Force Awakens came out, the toy, like the initial toy release, didn't really reveal much other than the character designs, which is, you know, if people don't want to see what they look like until you actually are seeing the film, that's kind of a spoiler in itself. You know, and it's kind of hard not to see them because they're out everywhere. Oh, yeah. And if you're on the computer, you see them. You know, I think it's cool. I mean, as long as they don't reveal huge spoilers, or like when Force Awakens was going to come up, like they had like Rey's Jakku speeder and stuff like that. So they showed like a bunch of the designs and everything. So it's just going to be out there. I think it's like a cool way to get a glimpse into it, but it's really just something that's going to happen. And, you know, I got to watch out as well, because I was in a group chat on Facebook with some of my friends, and one of my friends posted this huge thing that could, he said it was like a spoiler from The Last Jedi, and I read it, and I was like, okay, if this is true, I'm going to be so angry. So I'm not going to say it now, obviously. He's the one who spoiled Force Awakens for me, so I'm like, I'm not safe wherever I go.
Befriend that. You don't even.
So maybe
talk
you should not be friends with this person.
I gotta pick and choose my friends.
You gotta draw the line somewhere, you know.
Hey man, real friends don't spoil movies.
That's true.
Without a disclaimer.
I agree.
That's the code.
Yeah. Toys are fun to look at, and I'm strictly being careful about what they're going to release, that they don't give too much away. But seeing designs of characters, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Gets us more hyped. Another thing I wanted to just talk about really briefly, E3, Electronic Entertainment Expo, is coming up very soon. And I think we're going to get some more Battlefront footage.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
And that drops in what, November?
October, November.
I'm going to have to come over and play that game.
Yeah, well, me too. I'll bring it over to your place.
Absolutely. That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
It looks amazing. I was looking at comparison shots from Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2 next to each other of Luke's face. And, man, Battlefront 2 looks crisp.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You look great.
Yeah.
Realistic, yeah.
And I heard they fixed up the gameplay, not just the multiplayer, but the story mode is supposedly a lot better.
Yeah, there's gonna actually be a story mode.
Existing is what I should say, because I don't think they had a story mode in the Battlefront 1. But they're gonna kill it, man. They're gonna kill it with that game.
That's something to look forward to. You never know; they might release something else too at E3. So I'll be watching that because I'm into the games. But it's another topic for future.
Oh no, yeah, we could talk about that for sure anytime. That's really amazing that they're even making games like that. And as far as I know, a lot of it is, or all of it is canon on some level or another, right?
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. That's another thing. They revealed Kylo Ren's outfit from, that's another thing we were talking about. Like, there was a screenshot from the DLC, the Last Jedi DLC, and they revealed Kylo Ren's new design. So it's just really prevalent in our current, like, everything. You're just going to see it.
Kylo Ren's new design and new scar.
Yeah, the scar.
They moved it slightly.
Yep. Right, yeah.
That was Twi'lek Talk Episode 3. We covered a lot of really cool new stuff that's going on. Paid tribute to birthdays and anniversaries. Old Ben, anything before we head out? You want
to?
I want to send a
shout out to Star Wars Datapad on YouTube. My friend Don's doing some VO work for them, so check them out on YouTube. It's Star Wars Datapad.
Datapad, I'll check that out. Darth Dylan, anything you want to add or remark on for episode 3?
Yeah, I'm staring at my Last Jedi poster right now, and it looks really cool.
You lucky dog. You lucky dog. It looked cool from the pictures.
What's that?
It's my screensaver.
It's my screensaver, yeah. Too.
Yeah, your screensaver is my wall with the poster on it.
As we get more and more psyched for The Last Jedi, I read a thing on Instagram today. It said 199 days till the release of The Last Jedi. Got me psyched.
199 to...
But that was like 2 days ago, so we're at 197. Check us out at Twi'lekTalkPodcast@gmail.com. Obviously, send us any input. We'd love to hear it. And tweet us at Twi'lekTalk. PO2, like pod 2, but PO2. Also, check us out on Facebook, where you could also find all of our videos. And pretty soon, guys, we're going to have a website.
Woohoo!
TwiLikeTalk.com. It's a big reveal. Yeah, TwiLikeTalk.com.
Our good friend Ken Frederick is working on that as we speak, and it's going to have lots of good stuff, especially, you know, obviously the podcasts, and also we're working on some content videos.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah,
Ken's done some awesome, fun, awesome things with this page, and he's a really nice guy, and I appreciate him helping us out. And yes, we are going to have content videos in the future.
Yeah. We're in space.
In space.
Yeah.
Never been done before. Or at least as far as we know.
We're expanding on Twi'lek Talk. It's not just going to be Twi'lek Talk podcast. As you've seen, we've done review videos in the past, and we're also moving on to content videos now.
It's great. It's a good progression, you know, and I know it's only episode 3, but I feel like something special is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's great.
Yeah. So check us out there, TwiLikeTalk.com in the future. And hopefully one day we'll be on iTunes. We're not there yet, but I think once we set up our Twi'lek Talk, we will be able to do that.
Yeah.
Till next time, may the force be with you.
Always. Smooth.
I'm a deep.